as it's a new year, we're starting a new series this evening, and we're looking at the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. Now, together with the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, as well as Titus, 1 Timothy forms part of what is known as the pastoral letters that were specifically addressed to pastors of local churches in the first century. We might think, well, not all of us are pastors, and we certainly don't live in the first century, and yet the Lord can speak to us powerfully through His words, and we can be sure that these letters are packed with scriptural truths that each of us can absorb all of these centuries later. As Paul writes to Timothy in his second letter, all scripture is God-breathed or breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So let's anticipate that God is going to speak to our hearts as we consider this letter. As we begin reading the letter, we find that in line with the customary style of first century letter writing, Paul begins the letter by giving his name and his highest credentials, which are as follows. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope. We know from the book of Acts, as well as from our study of Galatians last year, that Paul was a highly qualified Pharisee who was also a persecutor of the church. And yet Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, forever transforming his life. And thereafter, he was called by God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, which entailed several adventures and missionary journeys for the sake of the gospel. And we can read all about that in Acts. On one of these journeys, something that isn't recorded in the book of Acts, but it's quite likely that possibly on the first missionary journey that Paul embarked on, he met two women, one named Eunice and another named Lois, and shared the gospel with them. And these two women are none other than the mother and grandmother of Timothy, to whom the letter was written many years later. According to 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, Lois and Eunice were women of sincere faith, and they had passed on their faith to Timothy. And we've also got a Lois of sincere faith in our congregation, and we're blessed to have you, Lois. But I think one of the things that we can think about as we consider Lois and Eunice, who again were Timothy's grandmother and mother, are the power of praying mothers and grandmothers. And I know that there are some in this room who are mothers, and also some who are grandmothers, and I know that sometimes there's a sense of heartache as you look at your children and grandchildren and see them making choices that you might not hope they would have made. But as we pray, the Lord is faithful, and it's just such a testimony in this case of the fact that both Lois and Eunice knew the Lord and loved the Lord, and it impacted Timothy in a wonderful way. I think there's others in this room who would testify to the faith of our own mothers having impacted our lives. And so we're very grateful for our mothers who have served the Lord. And many years later, Paul reflected on the following. This is in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 to 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learnt it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. So let's continue to read the scriptures, teach the scriptures, have the scriptures as central in our families, and let's pray for those we love. When Timothy was about 15 years old or thereabouts, Paul returned to Lystra, and this is recorded in Acts, where Timothy was from, to find a disciple of the Lord who showed great promise as a gospel partner to Paul. Soon after the Council of Jerusalem, Acts 16 gives us the following account in the first three verses. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they knew his father was a Greek. And so began Timothy's ministry journey. We don't know a great deal about Timothy from the scriptures, but we do get snippets here and there of his ministry, and it's very evident that he grew and matured in the Lord. In Romans 16, verse 21, Paul refers to Timothy as a fellow worker. And in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, we get the indication that Paul sent Timothy to Corinthians, to the Corinthians, the church in Corinth. And we know from other occasions that we've considered the Corinthian church, that they were a difficult bunch. There were a lot of problems in the Corinthian church, and yet Paul sent Timothy to them, and I'm sure that must have been a trying, but hopefully a very satisfying time for Timothy as he saw the Lord work through him, even in a difficult situation. And this is what 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. That is why I sent Timothy to you, my beloved, and faithful that is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. And so there's a few things here. The first is that Paul gave Timothy this opportunity to take on this task that would have been challenging. But also, Paul refers to Timothy as his beloved and faithful child in the Lord. According to Philippians 2, verse 19, it's likely that Timothy also traveled to other churches with greetings from Paul. It reads, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be cheered by news of you. Eventually, Paul left Timothy in Ephesus to pastor the Ephesian church. While Timothy was there, he wrote this letter to him, the letter that we are studying, which was probably about 15 years after Timothy had joined Paul, which would put him in his early 30s. In the letter, Paul addresses Timothy with great paternal affection and spiritual care. And Dave reflected on that a little bit when he writes to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, encouraged by Paul, we know that Timothy went on to courageously serve the Lord, even though we know that he struggled with frequent illnesses, which we know from 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, and there's indications similar to that in other places. And we also know that he was imprisoned at some point. In chapter 13, verse 23, the writer of Hebrews says the following, you should know that our brother Timothy has been released, which obviously means that he was in prison at some point. Now, beyond encouraging Timothy, what is the main purpose of 1 Timothy? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 lays out the purpose of the letter for us very clearly. Paul writes, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that If I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. And so we see throughout the book of Timothy an encouragement to follow sound doctrine and for the church of God to conduct itself in a way that is glorifying to God. And that really is the purpose of the letter of Timothy. Paul had communicated the essentials of the gospel during his early ministry, in Ephesus, but the people were in need of a shepherd and of further instruction, so he sent Timothy to them. In 1 Timothy 1, 3-4 says, "As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith." And Timothy was young, we know this. Paul makes that clear in the letter. And so the task before him was by no means an easy task. But by God's strength and with Paul's guidance, he could run a good race. In essence, Paul says to Timothy, chin up. It won't be easy, but you can do everything in God's strength. And so, endeavor to live for God, for God's glory, and help others to do the same. And thankfully, because this letter has been preserved through the years for our benefit, we too can draw on Paul's wisdom as we also endeavor to be a God-glorifying people. Amen.